ladies? That was just glorious. Uplifting. Thank you so much. Since the beginning of time and up to this very day, man has sought here and there for his power, for his abundance, for his protection, for his sense of satisfaction, for his source. And so it is of his limited human mind, blinded to truth, man has manufactured this and that God, of this and that faith, of this and that culture, nationality, color, race, and so on and so forth, each time looking amiss and creating his very own graven image. The ignorant man's personal gods, created of concept and brought about by human emotions of need, fear, lack, and limitation, and the seeking of power, are like straw men and serve no purpose other than maybe providing a false sense of hope, a temporary sense of peace, and a false sense of security. By the way, metaphysically, graven images are images of God made by mental pictures, any type of mental picture. For instance, even the thought of God as a great king in a place called heaven, way up in the sky, sitting upon his jeweled throne, makes such a material image in our thought realm. A thought of a white god, a thought of a black god, an Asian god, or maybe Hispanic and Japanese god, all graven images. A thought of some god that is made in our physical image, in our likeness, is a graven image. Likewise, when we look to and give power to anything, anything but to God, we are making that thing a graven image. Of course, given this day and age, there are not as many carved idols and sacred objects and drawings and individuals bow down to and pay homage to as there were in the days of the Old Testament and before. But as you know, there are teachings of today and beliefs of today that do require that adherents give reverence to this or that deity represented by an animal, a carving, an object, a picture, and so on. And you can bet it's always something that is separate and apart from them. Since divine science is a Christian teaching, we look to the Bible as one of our major sources for spiritual knowledge, inspiration, and truth. This being the case, we are tuned to the Ten Commandments, and especially the Second Commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Now, although we don't currently go about carving images, as I mentioned, and of this or that idol, or give power over us to this or that half-animal and half-man image, I can assure you that we do, everyone here, as sons of men, as the man whose breath is in his nostrils, the Adam man, give power to a number of things in our lives in the outer world of effect in which we live. And these things can be animate or inanimate, thoughts or beliefs. Maybe you can think of one, two, maybe three or more of these things of the world of effect that you give power to. Think about it. And as you do, let me read the words of Romans 13:1. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. And this scripture does not go on to read, however, but, or maybe, and so forth and so on. There is no gray area. It simply conveys the truth. There is none, absolutely no power but of God. This past week, I spoke with an acquaintance, an individual we would call a combat hero. He was awarded a Purple Heart and Silver Star for gallantry in Vietnam. And when in the Marines, he held a senior rank and wore his uniform well. He was the image of a perfect Marine, one that would take on any challenge and feared nothing. But you see, that was his identity and consciousness then, at that time. And he lived that image. Well, getting to the point of this story, I had not heard from him in quite a while. And when he sent me a text, I thought I would surprise him and give him a telephone call so we could talk. And so it was that after our initial greetings, he went on to tell me over the course of some 10 to 15 minutes his health challenges, the fact that he has eye problems, that he's going to get cataract operations, and so forth and so on. Every detail from dry eye complications and more. And so it was at that moment in time, and I assume it has been for a while, his graven image, that which he gave power to, were his eye problems, his ill health. And these things now belong to him in consciousness. But my friends, I would be remiss in not mentioning to you, quite honestly, that during my conversation with my friend, that the human personality of the flesh, the Son of Man, that character Wayne Gatewood, and his sense of separation from his source at that very moment, also told his friend of all of his heart surgeries and such. Yes, for that time and that instance, the man Wayne Gatewood also looked to his graven image, so-called heart ailments, thus forgetting at that moment who and what he really was. One in God, perfect health, with all power. Yes, God is of us, and he is our only truth. And yes, we know this. But there are times that the Son of Man shall look amiss in error. And that includes your personalities as well as mine. So, my friends, I want to tell you now that yes, you are, and yes, I am a son of God. I am whole. I am complete. I am abundance, knowledge, wisdom, love, power, and eternal spirit. But to make this very clear, I want us to know and remember that this perfect I of which I speak is not the personality of Wayne Gatewood, but the Christ of him, such as it is with the Christ of you, my friends. And such as it was and is with the Christ Jesus. And this is why he, the Master, reminded us that it was not him, Jesus, that did the works, but the Father within. Yes, our graven images, thinking that we are gods in personality, because we hold worldly positions of power within the government, within industry, within the scholastic arena, scientific arena, or medical fields, where our titles of doctor or Mr. and Mrs. Secretary, governor, and so forth and so on, the honorable, Untold individuals with these titles, holding worldly status, look at such in all too many instances as a source of their individual power. But power it is not, and of God it is not, unless it is realized as grace and it is used for the sole purpose of sharing and demonstrating their real truth, tempered with humility, kindness, service, and most importantly, love. Turn away from God. Look without instead for your source, for your truth. And believe me, you shall come upon more than one graven image. They're out there waiting for you. Just look at what material wealth does to those that do not understand the law of abundance. You see, abundance is of God. And all the grace that is ours, whether in the form of money and any other material and such, is to be held in gratitude and shared freely. We receive by grace, we share by grace. Although many don't look at it as their source of power, some do. And to this end, they use money and its so-called earthly power for all of the wrong reasons, usually selfish. By the way, it is never the money that is so-called evil, but rather it is the consciousness of the individual that makes it so. It is either realized as a blessing from God or seen as having been gained through man's perceived personal drive alone, as he strives for that which he loves most and is most important to him, most important in his mind, money, his graven image. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For those sitting here today, especially those of you that have been attending this church for some time and understand and appreciate the truth of our being as revealed through our divine science teaching and based upon the teachings of the Master, Christ Jesus, you know intuitively that God is all in all. And to the degree that we keep our minds stayed on God within, on principle, mental images of any other thing than God within are indeed immediately known as error. Now, a few minutes ago, I asked you to think of one, two, three, or more things of this world of effect that you give power to. Of course, I'm not going to go around the sanctuary and ask any of you to share. But I'm pretty sure that each and every one of you has thought on at least one area in your life to which you give power to. Your very own craven image. A thought in mind that is not of God. That you go to, you give power to. That captures your attention time and time and time again. My dear mother, God bless her soul, was a wonderful lady, a loving mother, a warm and giving individual. No one could ask for a better mom, but I can share with you that my mom worried about everything. Everything. And I mean everything. She was afraid to spend money because she was brought up during the Depression and lived on rations. She always saw much of the worst happening to this or that grandchild and would remind everyone all of the time, constantly, be careful of this, be careful of that, watch out, watch where you go, watch out for this, watch out for that, and so on and so forth. She was very anxious, and so it was hard for her to be at peace, to rest in the knowledge that all was in perfect order in God. And so it was that my sweet and dear mom lived with those mental graven images of lack, of fear, of apprehension, and anxiety. These things ruled her days and impeded a realization of full freedom from want, from fear, from worry. And how many individuals do we know and have we known that seem to be in and out of so-called romantic relationships that are seeking love, seeking a mate, that perfect someone to make them feel happy, joyous, and whole. There's a song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Well, let's face it, there is not one person in this world that can make any of us truly whole and complete. Because we are already whole and complete in spirit, in God. But those that know not seek validation, seek their self-worth, seek their sense of self on someone or something outside of themselves. And so many of these individuals, unfortunately, are lonely, afraid, depressed. And their graven image is need. The need is not love. And thus, such individuals are referred to in the world of psychology as codependent. And in this instance, as in every other instance where limitation and error-filled human thinking is at work, man reaps his own earthly rewards. Another bad relationship, another divorce, another emotional upheaval, and so-called broken hearts. And so it is that real love, true love, spiritual love is found in one place and in one place only. In God. In us. But we have the realization and consciousness of it. Of Him, the Father within, one God, in all, of all. While preparing for this lesson, a scene out of the movie The Ten Commandments came to mind. I'm sure we've all seen it. Yul Brynner as the Pharaoh and Charlton Heston as Moses. What an amazing movie it is. I am sure most, if not all of us, have seen it. Well, when the Hebrews have finally escaped from the Pharaoh, as God's power moved the Red Sea to drown out all of his soldiers, they set up camp. While Moses climbed the mountain to commune with God and receive the commandments. Now, even after witnessing the miracles and the powers of God that came through Moses, and even after being released from bondage out of Egypt, individuals set about creating a golden calf that they would worship while Moses was gone. And so they did. And while involved in all kinds of depraved and raucous activities, counter to God, Moses came down from the mountaintop with the inscribed commandments and threw the tablets down upon the golden calf, destroying it. And all of those that stood against Moses, stood against God, were swallowed up when the ground opened up. Well, that's a movie. But Exodus 32 tells the entire story and of the punishments that were put upon the errant Hebrews because of their creation of the golden calf, a graven image. Well, my friends, every story in the Bible is basically about you and I. For real. This story is relative to each one of us here today. And the metaphysical message of this story of Exodus 32 is that there are consequences when we look away from truth to outside effect, to persons, places, and things. When we image things other than God as our source of power, as our perfection, as our eternal being. By the way, in the movie, as it draws to a close, it appears that the old Pharaoh may have discovered his truth. As he says to his wife, Queen Nefertiti, about the God of Moses, his God is God. My friends, all that appears as threatening, as lack, as need, as ill health, as a Pharaoh in Egypt, is not of God. And by succumbing to its appearances and looking outside for our protection, for our safety, for our sense of self, is complete folly. All that is and that shall ever be, all power, all life eternal, all fullness, satisfaction, beauty, harmony, love, and joy are of us as we are of and in Him. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, we read, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. When doubt creeps in, when you are tempted to seek amiss, to look amiss outside of yourselves, or harbor thoughts of graven images, separate and apart from God, from your truth, go within and feel, know, and rejoice in God, your oneness, and your only truth. Your Father who art in heaven, and all shall be good and very good indeed. Seek Him now. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Assume a listening attitude. Be still. Knowing that you of your human self can do nothing, but He in the midst of thee is greater than anything that can ever come to you out here in the world. Know it. Feel it. He is saying at this very moment, take time for me. Turn to me. Know that within the sacred stillness, I am. I am that fills your entire being. I shall allow no harm to come unto you. That in me you are protected from any and all harm. And that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. Every inherency of me is of you. All power of me is of you. And like me, you are whole, complete, and perfect. Look not without for that which is good and very good, as all goodness resides within you, about you, of you. Look within always and commune with me. I am here and shall never turn away. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. My child, take time to seek me. And if you seek me in truth and earnestness, I shall be here. Here always. Closer than breathing, and closer than hands and feet. Know that my presence is your sufficiency in all things. In me is fullness, is strength, is knowledge, in unconditional love. I am here, dispelling every appearance of darkness, every appearance of discord and inharmony and lack. I am here as life eternal. Turn within. Turn within and know. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.